Hi, everybody. This is John Snyson from World Alternative Media. And today I am in great Ottawa, where all the statists hang out. And it's I had a fun bumping with Mr. Trudeau today. I got pushed to the side because I'm not cool enough to hang out with Trudeau, of course, over here in Ottawa. But anyways, let's get to some news, actually, out of Ottawa, which is very interesting as I'm here. Because there's some massive news coming out of Bank of Canada and the Monetary Authority of Singapore, which they actually did the first ever blockchain transaction in the world history of central banks, not regular blockchain transactions, because we've been doing billions of those in decentralized ways. But anyways, I'm of course joined here today by the one and only Tim Pachote of the Liberty Advisor. And Tim, why don't you tell us what happened between the Bank of Canada and over in Singapore?
Well, hello everybody. This is Tim Pachote, and right now just trying to share the screen. But what we have is looks like the Jasper Phase 3 security settlement using distributed ledger technology. And trying to find the exact article we have over here, but it looks like essentially this is, the banks are starting to realize, hey, you know, we can't let, you know, Ripple be the only, you know, centralized player on the block right now. So what we need to do is, come up with a competing system. And so this isn't the only competing system right now, but it seems like it is the first from a central bank standpoint.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I actually have done a special report while I've been here on the Jasper project, because I found it very interesting how they call it Project Jasper, like it's some kind of secret, you know, thing happening. Meanwhile, actually, they have all the documents are available for the public, so there's nothing really secret about it, but they don't talk to the general public about what they're doing in a centralized form, where they're creating several blockchains. They're creating a blockchain here in Canada with all the intermediaries, all those banks, and all the people that are moving money around. And then they have the same blockchain on the other side. And then they have the cross-border payments happening. So it's a massive structure, structure through blockchain that they use now, and that they actually have transacted money in between central banks, the first ever currency swap between two central banks. What we're seeing is, and what I've done a special report on, is the problem with centralized blockchains. And of course, you mentioned Ripple, Tim, and there's Hyperledger. There's a couple of other projects out there now that are trying to compete with each other to become the most or the best system out there. But the thing is, the banks have their fingers in all these centralized ledgers, either if it's, you know, the Hyperledger or the R3 consortium. All of these ledgers, they have, you know, the banksters are involved controlling all of them. Meanwhile, we have, you know, the actual people's ledgers, the decentralized cryptocurrencies like Dash, you know, Bitcoin Cash. You got Monero, all these currencies that are trying to fight back against this whole consortium, as you see, the R3 consortium of bankers that are trying to regain the control, as they saw that they're going to lose it massively if they let this decentralized crypto system that we as the people actually have developed to transact value between each other without the need for the banksters. We don't really need them, Tim. And there's a lot of other things that are happening in the space of blockchain, a lot of other centralized moves that are happening, and some very funny comments coming out of the United States, and of course the old guard, the people that don't have a clue what's going on with blockchain, and the people that are kind of getting left in the ditch now as we're, you know, moving into the new era of technology, Tim.
Yes, and they're actually, speaking of the old guard, we do have Joseph Stiglitz, who in a video came out and said he actually wants to shut down cryptocurrencies. So I'm not sure if he, you know, obviously doesn't really realize how cryptocurrencies works. If he thinks we can just, you know, come in with one fell swoop and somehow shut them down. And
they probably shut down the internet.
Yeah, they probably could have shut them down, like maybe, you know, 2012, 13, 14. It was probably too nascent where they maybe could have actually pulled that off. But now that the horses are out of the barn, there's, you know, I mean, yeah, it's like all the horses are out of the barn and they're trying to close the door, which, you know, that's usually never a winning strategy. Now, another person who came out, I believe it was either yesterday or today, so we got May 4th, so 2 days ago, that Charlie Munger, who, for those who don't know, he's the guy that looks like, you know, the reincarnation of death. No, I'm not talking about George Soros. I'm talking about Charlie Munger. He is, I mean, just look at those guys' eyes. I mean, just looks very, very weird. You think for being, you know, one of the richer people in the world, maybe he could do something about that. But with Charlie Munger, he's Warren Buffett's partner, and he goes on to joke about Bitcoin, saying that cryptocurrency fans celebrate the life and work of Judas Iscariot, which, you know, is really kind of crazy when you think about, you know, who, you know, when you think about what, you know, Jesus was actually killed for, you know, basically going after the money changers. I mean, the word bank, the root word of bank, actually, I mean, a lot of people will say, you know, it has to do with the banks of the river and controlling. Actually, the root word of bank actually has to deal with a table, and it had to deal with like the money changing table was actually like the root word of bank or bank. I think, I believe it was banque in Latin and Italian, very similar to that. So anyways, yeah, not deviating off too much from that, but you know, in terms of, you know, what, this is the work of Judas. I mean, it's actually, you know, it's the Federal Reserve System. And you take a look at who Berkshire Hathaway actually owns. I mean, some of their largest holdings are what? Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, JP Morgan, and Wells Fargo. I mean, how many billions of dollars have those companies paid in fines just in the past few years? And then he's out here calling, you know, basically all this a scam when you've got Wells Fargo that's been, you know, or sorry, HSBC, or I guess it's technically not them, but, you know, HSBC was, you know, laundering money for the Sinaloa drug cartel. And it's just one thing after another. But yeah, he goes on to say in the article that, you know, what Bitcoin investors do at happy hours is celebrate the life and work of Judas Iscariot. Yeah, is the full quote in that one. And then speaking of Judas Iscariot, we have the Facebook coin, which is coming out, which, you know, I don't really know all the details, but we do have an article pulled up right now where Facebook is creating a cryptocurrency payment system, but its users may take some convincing. I mean, I know personally, a few weeks ago, I was trying to come up with a strategy to get myself off of Facebook. But before doing so, I wanted to be able to collect emails, and because I do have a page where there's like 37,000 following it. But, you know, unfortunately, because of the shadow banning, it's basically useless. I don't even go live on there. I almost don't even post on it unless it's some sort of a stupid meme, because they've got to the point where, and there was, what's the name of the organization that infiltrates other organizations? Project Veritas did a report where it showed that there was some sort of line of code that they tag you with, and then that prevents your live streams from actually getting out to the people. And I know I used to be able to log on and within like a sec, sort of like, you know, we're doing here, log in like in a second and there's, you know, 50-100 people watching it. Now, you know, I could go live for 3 hours and like, you know, my mom doesn't even get notified that it's coming on. So, yeah. So with Facebook, I mean, this is also coming off the heels of just like a few days ago, they mentioned how they're going to try to have all this big new focus on privacy, and, you know, we're Facebook and we care about your privacy, which, you know, yeah, what a joke that is.
Yeah. And, well, he was laughing too when he said that, like talking about his privacy failures. It was kind of fitting, actually. Sorry.
Yeah. And then they go on to, you know, kick, you know, Alex Jones off the platform. You know, no matter what you want to think about him, you know, I think he does have a right to exist, you know, on the internet. And they created a special platform, and this platform was only applied to Alex Jones, where unless you are specifically condemning him, you can be kicked off the platform for mentioning Alex Jones, sharing too many of his articles was another, I guess, threshold that they met there. I would love to know how many articles I've shared of them over the past, you know, since like 2004 when I've been on there. You know, I'm sure I'm probably in like a whole special category, but I'm trying to diversify off of Facebook, like completely. Like by the end of the year, my goal is to not even be on Facebook. I was on since 2004, super early adopter. And it's just at the point where, you know, they're doing things to game our emotions, game everything. It's, you know, anyone that's not a, you know, complete leftist, anyone that's, you know, right of Mao is being absolutely demonized over there. And it's just absolutely crazy.
No, it's the centralization, Tim, that's happening all around the world. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be corporations, you know, centralizing monopoly power. Of course, with the social media, there's monopoly power over there. There's monopoly power with the money that they issue, the central banks, and how they control that. So there's a lot of monopolies running around, and we are in what I believe is the end of the centralization cycle, where either we're going to have total tyranny, or we're going to have complete freedom through a decentralized world coming up a bit of revolution attached to it. I don't know exactly what kind of revolution that looks like, but I do have some ideas that it's going on right now as we speak. We're part of it, Tim, you and me, and all the other people that are out there exposing what's happening with the centralization and the control over people's mind and the manipulation through central entities and control with mainstream media and everything else. We are seeing kind of the breaking point here in history where we're seeing the move back again, because this always happens where you have the government becomes too big, like back in the days of, we were talking about Jesus and the Roman Empire, the money changers and so on. Well, it was the same deal back then too as well, where the Roman Empire just toppled in on itself because it became so over heavy and bloated and stealing from people money, and it wasn't sustainable anymore. And that's where we're heading, right towards like a slow freight train, right towards a concrete wall. And there's no way getting out of this. We can't exit out of this in a proper way other than total tyranny or complete freedoms. That's in my point of view, what we have the choices between. And I think we see that, especially with the centralization that's happening with this new blockchain transaction that just Bank of Canada and the Monetary Authority of Singapore just did. It just shows us where they want to take us. And I don't think a lot of people want to be there, to be honest with you. I think it's very few people that actually would like to have all of their freedoms taken away from them and have no privacy anymore, because that's what it also is, Tim.
Yeah, I don't know. What was the horse race it was just on? Was it Kentucky Derby? And the horse that initially won, it was called Maximum Security. So I'm like, oh man, are you kidding me? You know, they have a horse that won, was named Maximum Security, but then I guess he cheated or did something. And so they, you know, I don't pay attention to horse races. But you know, it's just, you know, they need to come after people like the Alex Joneses and, like, you know, basically, you know, a lot of our friends, even Luke Radowski isn't allowed to post on We Are Change Facebook page anymore, because what they're scared of is is public opinion. And so CNN and all the other fake news outlets, they had a monopoly over spouting out all their BS. And the problem is, so many people out there have this slave-like mentality where they only want to do what they, you know, what, you know, their neighbors are doing or the person at the water cooler is doing, and they don't want to get too far out of bounds. They look at the comment section, then they use the comments to then basically inform their own opinions on things. And so when it was just a very small amount of people out there taking action, like you and Josh, a lot of other people we know, even myself to a very small degree on Facebook, I, you know, right before the election, I got so pissed off the Libertarian Party. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start, you know, doing everything I can to defeat Hillary. Started reaching millions of people. And I'm like, oh man, this is super easy. And it wasn't about me. It was about, you know, hey, I bet I can teach, you know, a couple hundred other people this stuff that I'm doing, because it's super easy. And then that super easy didn't last very long. I mean, it lasted like maybe a week after the election, and all of a sudden it was like, boom, you know, your content's not getting out there anymore. But it was, you know, I originally was really optimistic on all this, but the problem is, you know, we are going to have this divergence, and everything is going to go digital. Everything is going to be, it basically already is. And it's like, we got two paths. The one path is, you know, the complete censorship, track, trace, surveilled money. The other one is the decentralized alternative. And of course it makes sense to have, you know, precious metals. You guys can go down to the affiliate link at our goldsilver.com, I believe, is the website. There's an affiliate for WAM that helps us basically survive over here, because, you know, there is a lot of shadow banning. There is a lot of demonetization. I came out with a Russian Facebook live stream the other day where I was going through like 4 gigabytes of Russian memes, and instantly, as soon as I post it, it gets demonetized. So here I am exposing the actual whitehouse.gov Russian memes that you can't even find anymore. I was fortunate enough to have downloaded them as soon as I saw them, because I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to be there for very long. I can guarantee that. Whether it might be there, but you just don't know how to find it. And so I'm optimistic, but at the same point, you know, the people that control everything, this whole intergenerational crime that's been going on, they're not going to give up easy. They're not going to give up without a fight. And, you know, I do see a lot of people, even like someone like Alex Jones was super critical of everything blockchain, everything crypto, thought everything was a pump and dump scam. And I decided to, you know, kind of spot check, listen in on him on Friday, given the fact he was kicked off. I wanted to see what was going on over there in Alex Jones land. And he and his lawyer were talking about And it was very brief. It was right around like the 1 hour mark on Friday. And he said something to the effect of, you know, hey, this blockchain technology is something we need to check out because blockchain could be the answer to all this social media censorship that's going on. And I'll be honest, I've had a, you know, blind spot. I'm paraphrasing Alex Jones right now. And so it's like, well, finally, like, I don't know what more it's going to take you to finally realize this. And I had a video a few months ago where when he was kicked off originally, how I was talking about this and when he was had, you know, in the whole Jack Dorsey, Twitter, Joe Rogan episode that was going on. And he was critical of Facebook critical of Bitcoin on there as well. And Bitcoin, you know, we actually had someone who unsubscribed because in one of the videos I just came out with, I talked about tipping the cab driver in Bitcoin Cash. And so he's like, you said Bitcoin Cash unsubbed. I'm like, okay, really? You know, if that's a threshold that's going to trigger somebody, then, don't let the door hit you, I guess. But
hey, there's a free market, Tim. Come on, like we gotta have a free market as well in this economy. And that's the problem is people have been taught for so long in schools and everywhere that we need a monopoly on something, and that we always need to push forward to get that, like, be the main one power that could control everything. It's just a mentality that has been brought to us through the regular schooling system. And now we're kind of getting like off topic with what we initially did, but it's actually is very fitting because it's all fits together, all this stuff where we're talking about centralization of all the knowledge and power that they're trying to do and taken away again, because the elites are so afraid now, because never in history have there ever been a time, Tim, that we actually have the access to all this information that's out there as the population. Usually there's been, you know, massive barriers for any peasant to come and, you know, gather any of the information that we've been talking about here. And I think this is the revolution that was the information revolution that came out, and it can't really be stopped now, because now we're decentralizing everything. Things are getting decentralized through the IPFS system that's out there on the blockchain, where information becomes completely decentralized and not, you know, centrable at one location through like a data center, for example. You could just blow up the data center and then the information is gone. No, it's everywhere. It's on the blockchain. It's literally like on almost every computer out there that are using these systems, and there's no way you can delete, you know, millions of computers. They're just impossible. And let's just look at, you know, the BitTorrent. How many times haven't the intellectual cartel over at Hollywood tried to ban BitTorrent, right? But there's never have been a chance to actually, like, they've never gotten any leeway or any place where they actually were able to stop it. Like, people are using it more than ever now. So they just completely failed. And that just shows the power of the decentralization of information and of these systems, Tim. And where I think, you know, we can end off the video right away here, but I think this is what the point has to be proven here, that we need to understand the power that we have if we actually decentralize power versus if we want to have some form of central control unit that governments and other units are. If we just wake up to and start believing in humanity to let us, like, give that decentralized power to every human being out there, and actually entrusting that into each other instead of saying that, oh, we need government because we can't trust old people. Like, that's not a way, Tim.
Yeah, we can't trust people, so we just need to give the same people we can't trust, which is actually usually like the biggest psychopaths in our society. We just need to give them the power, like people like Hillary Clinton, or for anyone watching Game of Thrones, like Cersei Lannisters. I mean, these are the people that always try to get into power.
And you're scumbag.
You know, you'd mentioned recorded history. Well, this is the first time there's actually an immutable recorded history where, you know, if they had blockchain technology, you know, however many tens of thousands of years ago, Josh wouldn't have to be wondering where Atlantis is. So let's give a shout out to Josh, who is, you know, out busy traveling, trying to find Atlantis. And so a lot of good stuff coming up on that. But yeah, people are programmed, they're conditioned what to think. And, you know, as we, you know, wrap up on this, and one of the ways I was trying to like deviate off of this is I wasn't as familiar with all the blockchain Canada stuff that was going on as you, but yeah, we somehow managed to tie all this together. But I do want to remind everybody that I'll be at Anarcho Vegas. Not sure, John, are you going to be at Anarcho Vegas?
I'm going to do my very best to be there. I think I will.
And we've got Josh, who's definitely going to be there because he's a speaker and lives in Vegas. So a lot of our friends are going to be there. There's affiliate code that you guys can get down in the description. I believe it's WHAM. Also have Red Pill coming up about almost like a month from today, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's right around the corner, actually. It's basically a month. Yeah. And that's another super exciting thing. Where there's, you know, a tremendous amount of topics that is, you know, the red pill, like through the matrix, right? You take the blue pill or the red pill brings you down the matrix, or the blue pill will leave, you know, in today's mainstream media world.
Yep. And we do, we have got another conference coming up that you might want to tell people about. Was it the Winnipeg Crypto Conference? Or was it
Of course. I am putting on a blockchain conference where we have speakers like Andy Hoffman, Anthem Blanchard. We have, of course, the great David Morgan coming out. We got a lot of experts on both blockchain and cryptocurrencies out there, and then the mixture of that and precious metals as well. And I'm going to be speaking on at that conference on, you know, the what we just have been talking about, Tim, the actual trajectory. Are we going to take the trajectory of going into totalitarianism and tyranny, or are we going to actually move towards complete freedom with decentralized? So centralized versus decentralized, I think that's a huge theme now for the next coming years of what we're going to see here, Tim. And if you want to be a part of that, of course, just go to winnipegcryptoconference.com. And then put in promo code WAM and you'll get your 10% off. And you'll help me and Josh and Tim here building a world alternative media, because YouTube, you know, is taking away most of the money that's been coming our way. And it's next to nothing now. So we got to have your help and get you out there to take action and give us, you know, the foundation for us to really work even harder and take as much time out of our schedule, busy schedules that we have to create and make the best possible content for you.
Yeah. And then if anyone, you know, is in the crypto space and wants to work with an advisor who is pretty adept at all things crypto. So if you've made a whole bunch of money in crypto and want to know ways, especially for, you know, American clients, but people residing in America, but if you, you know, made a whole bunch of money and trying to figure out, hey, how do we get that into the system without getting killed on taxes? I've got different solutions for that. Although if you think it's going higher, you probably want to wait a little bit till it gets a little bit higher. However, these things start to run away from itself. And when I started initially trying to promote this strategy back in November, December, and January before the whole big long story. But you know, and then when the price is low, we had people that got into crypto retirement accounts, which obviously not 100% of their money. And some of them got in right around 3,500 on Bitcoin. They had Roth IRAs. So this entire run up was tax-free gains. They can sell their assets inside of there, not trigger any capital gains. So for all the long-term hodlers who already have 401ks, already have IRAs, I'm not saying go out and put your money into an IRA or 401k, but the fact of the matter is that there's tens of trillions of dollars already in these vehicles.
Of course, yeah.
Close to retirement. And then we also have, you know, if you're like, hey, you know, blockchain is a big scam, well, you're probably not listening to this at this point anyways. But there's all different things we can do for you, but, you know, we can help you out with different retirement risks that are out there, set you up for your own retirement. And it's just something where, you know, if like 0.5% of people, you know, were willing to, you know, say, hey, you know what, I don't really like my financial advisor, I don't really know him, or this guy, I think, you know, knows his stuff better than mine. I mean, that could basically fund all of us, you know. If, and now we're talking like if 0.5% put some of their money over here, boom, you know, game over. And then we could, you know, get off, you know, YouTube completely. And you did talk about, you know, a hypothetical of blowing something up. So now this video is going to be, you know, demonetize the shadow bands anyways. But you know, it's just amazing the censorship that's going on. And yeah, so check out those affiliate links and I'll let John take it out from here.
Yeah, no, this is, of course, we got to move forward here and we got to have to change the world and make it into what we wish to see, because if we don't, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Look at all the empires before us. And there's nothing against any people, because I say that the United States empire will fail because Tim is an American. It's not his fault, but is the actual system itself that, you know, are enslaving people. And this has happened thousands upon thousands of times throughout history. So we got to learn from those things and we need to take action and get ourselves away from those control grids that we give them by giving them all of our money. And Tim, this is John and Tim Pichot signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth,
be the change.